I want to try to spend a few minutes with you, if you'll let me. Maybe I can say something that might help you. I hope to relate back to one or two things this morning, if I can, some things I brought out the other day. And I don't know whether I can or not, but I'm going to see if I can. You know, the Bible speaks of the raven of the valley plucking out your eye. Ravens, in that sense, have to do with evil spirits and eyes of understanding. This world is a valley when you look down from heaven, you know. Jesus called it the valley of the shadows, or David did. And the ravens of that valley can pick your eyes out if you don't have the right vision. You've got your Bibles, turn over to the book of Revelation. I'll read a little bit here in the book of Revelation. This kind of coincides also with 1 Kings. Read just a little bit here in 1 Kings first. The 18th chapter, first verse. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. And there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of waters, and unto all brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we may lose not all the beans. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, Art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hands of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. Thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourself, and dress it first, For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given him, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. They leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god, either he is talking or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. They cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with the water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass the 7th time that he said, Behold, there riseth a little cloud of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I was reading the whole chapter there. I started to read that, and the Lord gave it to me, and I thought, well, Lord, I read this the other night, and I preached from it, but the Lord told me he wanted me to read it again. So he's got a reason. Then going over into the book of Revelation, in the 4th chapter, it says, After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. I saw that we're going to read from there. But I want to talk with you just a little bit and say something that might help you. If you'll give me a few minutes to talk with you. First of all, as I brought out in a previous message not too long ago, here, when the prophets of Baal had a contest with Elijah, it was obvious that the reason God did not answer was because they did not understand the ways of God. It is true that when a person calls upon God and God doesn't give an answer, it is because they do not understand the ways of God. Now, a thought here that might sound kind of strange, but I want to inject it into your mind and thought pattern anyway. Here, the prophet Elijah, after being hid for so long, God had pulled him away for a number of years. The tribulation runs about 3.5 years. pulled him away during the time of the Jezebel reign, which apparently had to do with the Catholicism of today and the evil powers that's coming in. The Lord pulled him away, hid him, and then after Ahab had searched through every nation and every place, every kingdom, and couldn't find him, people took an oath that he was nowhere to be found in the land. All of a sudden, Elijah comes back to life. He comes out of hiding and they find him. They don't know where he's been, they don't understand, but yet he comes out of hiding. And then when he comes out of hiding, he goes to Ahab, he reproves Ahab for his wrong, and he tells Ahab to gather together all of the prophets of Baal, about 950 prophets, get them all together, 450 prophets eating from the table of Jezebel, get them all together out of the groves, get them all together, put them all together. And then he called a showdown. Here's what he told. First of all, he said, I want you to get all of the prophets that you got. Because, he said, there's a lot of you and only one of me. Said, get all the prophets that you can get, all that you got, and bring them together. We don't want to leave any of them so that one of them will say, well, God had me preserved over here in the corner, and I could have done it, but I just wasn't there. So get them all. Get every one of them together. And then after you get them all together, I want you to bring them down to Mount Carmel. We're going to have a contest. A world of contest. And so they brought them all down. And Elijah told them, he said, now, there's a lot of you prophets here. But he said, I and I alone am left as the prophet of God. I and I alone am left as the prophet of God. Said, but you've got lots of prophets. And said, get them all together. And somebody said, as it was in the days of Elijah. Somebody said, he's the only prophet. But God had a lot of prophets in that day. But if he did, there was no record of it. Elijah did not lie, nor did God lie. He said, I and I alone have left as the prophet of God. He did not lie. There was not a lot of prophets in the land. There is no record where there was any other prophet in the land but Elijah. Not one. Somebody said Elijah lied. God had 7,000. There's no record of it. If God had 7,000, there's no record of it in the Bible. I don't know where you ever read that. But there's no record of it in the Bible. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I know that he had them, because I can show it to you. Well, you need to do it. You need to do it. You here or abroad or wherever you're at, you need to do it. Because if you know it's in there, that's all you got to do is just show it to me. But there is no record where Elijah lied when he said, I and I alone am left. And said, you've got a lot of prophets, but he said, I and I alone am left as a prophet of God. And according to the word of the Lord, and according to the Bible, and according to what Elijah said, he told exactly the truth. There wasn't another prophet in the land that God had to carry on his work. He did have 7,000 people that had never bowed their knees to Baal, but there's no record where either one of them was a prophet. He said, I and I alone am left as a prophet to face the situation. And he said, get them all together. We're going to have a contest. Brother Wilson preached the sermon here one at a time, sir, one at a time. God has never at any time had a whole flock of people in leadership to cause confusion. God doesn't work that way. There has to be stepping stones of authority that run out from sheriffs to governors to senators to presidents or kings. If you're going to have any order in the earth, there has got to be an oversight to the oversight that has an oversight. You follow me? Now, everything is stepped up one at a time to a certain place, to a certain level, to a certain degree. And then as it was in the days of Moses, when he set up a commonwealth, and men were set out there, there were oversights that was over oversights, and oversights that was over oversights, until it came up to the man Moses, and there was no oversight in the earth that was qualified to be his oversight, so God became his oversight, making God the headstone and the supremacy of all things. So then God has a system. I've often made this statement and I still stand by. Take people and put them together and try to set up a little organization as a, you know, kind of like a fellowship. Set it up, put two men together and let them be partners. It'll never work. It'll never work. Try it any way you want to. It might go good for a few days or a few months, but after a while it's going to blow up because it won't work. You know why? Everything has to follow the pattern of Christ. Everything has to follow the order of God. And God ordains that there has to be membership and has to be a headship in all things for it to function right, because that is the creative way of God's life. Now you set up a co-op, put a president at the head of it, it'll work good. But you do it any other way, it won't work. The same way with the church. Set the church up. I've been in churches in my life back in the state of Nebraska when I was younger. They'd come in, no pastor, no preacher, no leader. It was a bunch of rebellious people that had got together, every one of them wanting to be the leader, but the only way they could keep down leadership from the other man is to say that they didn't want to be it. And they'd get everybody together, you know, and say, when the Spirit moves, we'll get up and say something. That's one of the biggest, most confused messes that I've ever seen. I stood there in the midst of those people that was waiting for God to move, had a message in my heart, could have preached to them. I just went over to pay them a visit. And others sat there, and during the liberty, a woman waiting for the moving of the Spirit decided she'd change the baby's diaper on the altar while he's all waiting, and that's what she did. I think God did that to show her. Show them what a stink it is in the sight of God when people try to evade leadership. That's right. To evade leadership and want to get around the powers and authorities of God. You understand what I'm saying? I say, Brother Pike, you're against little babies? I love little babies, but when people make too much fuss over them, there's a devil of lust for somebody's wife. You say, I don't believe it. Check it out and see. It'll always run that way. So then, Elijah said, I and I alone am left as a prophet of God. I and I alone am left as a prophet of God. And he said, get the rest of them together and let's have a showdown, let's have a contest and see if it works out like that. And so they got them together. And it worked out like that. They got a bunch of prophets together, and they prophesied, and they done everything that they could do, and they built altars, and they had everything just the way that they felt like it ought to be. But when they called on God, God didn't answer them. God wouldn't hear them. God wouldn't direct them. God wouldn't tell them nothing. You know why? They were worshiping the God of the flesh. The God of the flesh, which was Baal. And Baal being God of the flesh, it goes back, as we said, to the Trinitarian move in the early Dark Age when they began to worship Baal and change it into a Trinity doctrine. I made the statement in my previous message speaking from this passage of Scripture that from the early morning until the late evening time of this very life that we're in right now, the Trinity churches of God, Pentecostal holiness, all of the Baptists and the Methodists and all of the others have called and hollered
and shouted and begged and pleaded and done everything, but God has not answered them. They've promised and promised and promised, but God has not answered them. You know why? Because God works according to His plan, my brother. Works according to His plan. And what was His plan? He said, it shall come to pass in the evening time there shall be light. Why? Because He said, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet in the evening time, and in the evening time he'll know that that's the time to offer the sacrifice. In the evening time. Another thing is, they no doubt had offerings that were spotted and blemished and everything else. But when Elijah the prophet was to come, he was to have a sacrifice without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. He was to have a sacrifice that God would receive. Is that right? Who was that bringing it? John the Baptist. Behold, Elias is here. Is that right? He came, and then came the Lamb of God in the evening time. Is that right? Behold, I send you Elijah. He came and you didn't know it. Is that right? And so then, according to the Bible, there was to be a sacrifice. But if you get a bunch of people together with miniskirts on, long hair, form-fitting clothes, and everything that looks like the world, and try to offer to God as a sacrifice, God will reject it. That's what they've tried to do. They've built churches and congregations and audiences and everything else, and then they, like Cain, they brought it to God and said, here it is. But God rejected it. God rejected it. But when Elijah brought his sacrifice, it wasn't a sacrifice of the flesh, was it? It wasn't that at all. What was it? It was a sacrifice of the Spirit. It was a sacrifice of the Spirit. If you're not dead to your own self this morning, if you're not dead to the flesh, and if you haven't turned away from the things of the world, then there's one thing you need to know. And that is that you're not a sacrifice in the sight of God. Like this morning, I picked up a woman's spirit this morning, a spirit of lust. She overdone it to begin with in coming to church with her plans, and then when she got here, she let the devil get on her with a spirit of lust. And she sat there, that spirit of lust on her until she couldn't do nothing with it. Now, that's not a sacrifice well-pleasing in the sight of God. You men that come in here with your mind everywhere but on God, God's not pleased with you. You that fight, fuss, bicker, backbite at home, you're not a sacrifice on the altars of God. You that murmur and grumble when the Bible said do all things without murmuring, you're not a sacrifice to God. But God's got a clean sacrifice, a holy sacrifice, one without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He's got one somewhere in the earth. You know, when it was to come on the scene in the evening time, in the evening time of life, somebody said, well, bless God, he didn't receive it at the hands of Jezebel and all these others. Brother Pike, what makes you think that God will receive anything at your hands? But he will receive it, because it's one without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. It's the kind he's looked for. It's the kind he's looked for. He will receive it. He'll receive it. Elijah made the altars. He knew exactly what to do. He said, get the wood. Why? Because it was to typify the rugged cross of Calvary. He said, I got a revelation. I got an understanding. I got something that I want to do here. He said, you do it according to the way I tell you to do it. And said, it'll work out right. It takes the word of God to be able to reach the people. It takes the word of God to be able to bring to pass what God's trying to do. Elijah said, there's a revelation here. And he said, if you'll put it down just exactly the way that I tell you, God will take notice to it. But if you make it after the flesh, after Baal, which means God of the flesh, your own desires, your own reasoning, you can make it pretty, you can do whatever you want to, but God won't look at it. But he said, if you'll lay the old rugged cross down, put it down there, said, and then take us just one thing without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, and lay it across the top of it. Said, he'll see. He'll see it. Then he said, put the wood down, put the lamb on top of it. Put your sacrifice on top of it. And then he said, put me in a couple of measures of seed. Got to have two, first and second man Adam. Got to have both of them. Put them both in, he said. Moses had two stones, always twins. God always does things in terms of twins. It's always twins. Two pieces of wood to make a cross. Two eyes to see out of. Two nostrils. Two ears. Two legs. Two hands. Is that right? God does that. Why? Twins. Five here and five here. Foolish and wise. Isn't that right? Ten toes. The nations coming up out you under the end of the world, the Bible said. Those ten kingdoms. So then God does things like that. And he said, put the sacrifice down. And the Bible said they plowed his back as though it had been a field. Throw me a furrow in and put some water in, he said. Put some water in. The Bible said to be filled with the Spirit. I like that, don't you? Put some water in. It takes a seed, plowed ground, drop the seed in. Then after you drop the seed in, a little sunshine from heaven. Is that right? A little sunshine from heaven. But you got to have some water in there or the sun will just kill it. Is that right? And God knew that he was a consuming fire. He'd take care of the sunshine part. Scientist says the ball of fire. He'd take care of that part. What he wanted them to do is just get everything ready. Get it ready, folks. Get it ready. Take up your cross and follow him. If you haven't got a cross, get a cross. That sacrifice has got to be laying on a cross. It's got to be carried by a cross. If you don't have a cross, you're not a fit sacrifice. Clean up your life. Get your cross. And at the end of the way, there'll be a crown for you. And the Bible said when everything was just right, the time was right, the time of the evening sacrifice, the cross was laid in order, and the seeds was put in, and the water was there, and the sacrifice was laying there. Everything was just right. Isn't that right? Everything was just right. God had it just right. Then the old prophet, he didn't have to have two prophets. He didn't have to have 10 prophets. He didn't have to have 15 prophets. All he needed was one prophet. Why does God work like that? Why is it that God works with one prophet? Why does God do that? He does it because it shows Christ. It shows Christ. Anytime you work with two, you got problems. Anytime you work with three, you got problems. It always is one to show Christ. Now, why is that? It has to be like that. God has to do it like that. It has to work out like that to keep down confusion. You can't have two heads in the home. When a woman takes authority and man takes authority, you got a two-headed freak in the family. That's right. That man has become, in God's sight, a two-headed freak. That's what it is. I made a statement concerning Cain and Abel, the inseparable twins. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then God uses, as he moves, a headship in everything. Everything is so beautifully illustrated. Everything is so beautifully laid out. And God does it. Though the Bible says the gospel's given by God and many publish it, many carry it. Great is the multitude of them that publish it, and that's true. But when God does a specific work, though he had 12 men in the days of the apostolic church, he had 12 men, he had the disciples. But when he got ready to make the specific move, he made it through one man, which was Paul the Apostle. The Bible doesn't say he gave Peter the revelation. It doesn't say that he gave the 12 the revelation. But it does say that he gave Paul the revelation. Isn't that right? The record said he had 70 working with him. There were 70 people that walked along beside him. And they worked with him. And the Bible said they worked miracles. Somebody said, now, if we could just get miracles this and miracles that, and they just vindicate this and vindicate that. The Bible said they worked miracles. 70 people worked with him, just like the healing of today with the great leaders of today. And some of them come across my mind just like that worked miracles and wouldn't preach a Jesus name message for nothing.
Come on, folks. I said, they wouldn't preach a Jesus name message for nothing, but they work miracles. Somebody said, now, bless God, I know that they work miracles. I know they do too, because I've been there. That's right. But that don't prove nothing. It don't prove nothing. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, if there was a miracle work, that proves something. Well, if that be the case, then down in Egypt, when the magician's done everything Moses done, there in the beginning of his services, then that means that they were also right with God. Is that right? No, that wasn't what it was. You know what it was? God was letting Moses and the magic workers run along together until the time of the evening sacrifice. They all done it together. God did that. But after a while, it began to stretch out like a rubber band, and they began to say, now, wait a minute, we don't know what this is all about here. Now, we don't understand this part, and we know right down to this, and it comes down to this denomination, that denomination, and what brother so-and-so indoctrinated us with, and what grandmother said, but now, where did this come from? The Jews said, we can go along with some of that. Well, we believe some of that, but now, where did this other come from that you keep talking about? So we never heard about that. The wise men, Jesus, at the age of 12, just a little bitty boy. And they said, well, we never heard about that. Where did this come from? See, who taught you this? In other words, everything worked fine with Moses and the magicians right along together until a certain time came. And then after a while, every time Moses would do something, the magicians would do it. And every time that Moses tried to tell him it was God, why, the magician would do the same thing. Oh, Pharaoh just hardened his heart and sat back, you know. Like the denominational world today, we've got a little enterprise and a good income. We've got more on the board than you have. Our congregation's bigger. We can get Billy Graham and you can't get him over there. It's all right. Jesus, amen. Billy's done quit the field anyway. I think he officially stated he was through. I believe the radio stated, what was yesterday, a day before yesterday? I made a prediction. I said he'll quit. I said that'd be it. And sure enough, I understand that somebody told me yesterday or a day or two ago, said he quit. Bill, who was telling me? Was that you? Who was telling me? Somebody said that they officially heard Brother Wayne up here. They officially heard that he said that he quit the ministry. Now, but they run along together, and every time that God wanted a way out, always the magician was doing the same thing. I mean, he did the same thing. But after a while, according to the Bible, after a while, something took place. It was different altogether. What was it? After a while, Moses did something that they couldn't do. I said he did something they couldn't do. Because they didn't know nothing about it. Hallelujah! They didn't know what was on the menu. Amen. I'll tell you, like old Belteshazzar and him down there, when their bones begin to shake and they begin to tremble, and the Bible said their joints came loose. Old Pharaoh began to get shook up. He wasn't so confident anymore. He began to want to know what was going on. Well, when Moses worked something that magicians couldn't do it, they didn't run out. And I'll tell you that they've run out. Someone's trying to make a comeback, but they've run out. God's got it gone. Hallelujah. They've run out. They're trying to make a comeback, but they've run out. God allowed them to do it back there. And now they're trying to do it. But I've heard some of the meetings that they have, people not responding. They're not getting any response. It's a hoop and a holler. The crowds are not turning out for it either. What is it? They run out. The lights have gone out. And they're running back and saying, we done run out of oil. We can't do it no more. But let me tell you, when the days of grace is over, when the dispensation of God is bypassed, they can't work their magic anymore. God calls it magic. Lying signs and wonders. A man work a miracle in a day when there's a day of grace where God's giving grace to God. That's not the moving of the Spirit. Anybody can do that in the days of grace. Any man that exercises faith can work a miracle in the days of grace. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pine, the Bible don't teach that, but the Bible does teach that. And the Bible said the deadly wound was healed
It didn't say it looked like it was healed, or it was a deception and they thought it was healed, but the Bible said the deadly wound was healed. Somebody said, now what are you talking about? Well, people got all kind of ministries. Healing ministries, discernment ministries, all kind of ministries. Somebody said, but you just wait till you can tell them what's going on. People do that every day. Every day people do that. That's right. I heard Brother Harrowwood say he watched television the other day and said that every case that came before the man, he told him. And said he was shocked, shook up. Said because at the end of his sermon, he turned to the ones with miniskirts on and the others said, well, you don't have to worry about that. That's all right. You'll go ahead and wear them. But Brother Harry Woods was so shook up, though he said he knew the man was false, he was so shook up that unawares the other day he was talking to me and told me that he was going over into the Carolinas to hear the man again. So close it with the sea of the very elect, if it's possible. See, what is it? The multitudes will follow that. The multitudes. I stopped at a great camp meeting, an international camp meeting, just a few days ago, en route to my meeting. And I had a few of my young fellows here with me. And I stopped there, and the multitudes, the ground was covered like ants. You couldn't even get near the building, and that's the truth. There was around it on this side and that side. You had to go through the crowd to even get near the building. There was that many people. But not preaching Jesus' name. Not telling folks they ought to repent of their sins and be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I believe that they told them to repent of their sins. I'm sure that they did. The devil's got to have something, that's for sure. The devil will tell you sorry to repent of his sins. He'll tell you that. Esau repented. Working for the devil, he repented. But the Bible said he found no place to repent. The devil don't care how much you repent as long as you don't do nothing about it. But God said, confess your sins and forsake your sins. Is that right? That didn't get him the birthright, did it? The Bible said, repent and then be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. Repentance don't mean nothing. People repent all the time. They repent all the time. But how many of you know that the callings and gifts of God are without repentance? How many of you know that? The Bible said it's without repentance. If it had been given through repentance, then Esau would have got it. Isn't that right? But it was without repentance. Is that right? God didn't give it through repentance. He said the remission of sin is in the name of Jesus Christ. And there's none other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. That's why Elijah knew what to do. When he placed the cross down there, he took the name of the Lord. And he called on God in the name of the Lord. Somebody said, well, bless God, he didn't know what the name was. Can you prove it? The Bible said there's nowhere where it's written in the Old Testament. That don't mean Elijah didn't know it. I said, that don't mean Elijah didn't know it. Them boys called in the name of the Lord. That's why they got results. The other people didn't know it. The other people couldn't get a hold of it. But old brother Elijah had a straight line between heaven and earth. He knew what name to call upon. He knew what he wanted to say. And he said it, and it worked. It worked. It came down. He went over there with a message, and his message was, he said, if the Lord is God. Somebody said, but he ain't. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is God. But he said, if the Lord be God. God of the flesh, Baal, Trinitarian teachings. Is that right? That's what the word means. That early thing they set up at the Nicene Council. Now, he'd done everything they could, but he didn't have a revival. But after a while, when all their sacrificing was over, somebody said, well, don't you believe they fasted, prayed, sacrificed? I know they did. But the Bible speaks in one place where the people sacrificed unto devils. Is that right? Just because there's a healing, that doesn't mean God is pleased with what's going on. over in Virginia just a little bit ago. I talked to a man up there, and that man has been with all these different moves of today, and there was hardly two or three out of all of them that he made mention of that he said was straight with God. Every one of the big fellas that he named, he said they were out of shape. Said, I know because I split the spoil with them. Said, until I got scared and run from it, thought God was going to kill me. Now, what is it? You say, don't you believe there's nothing out there? There is something out there, and God's got some people out there. That's right. But that light has gone out that they had out there. That was a light among the people, but the light's gone out. It's died, withered up, passed away. It is no more. It's gone. Why? Because God said, I'll do a new thing. What is that new thing? The ministry's coming on now. This is a new thing. Them people don't understand it. They don't know what we're talking about. They don't understand this. Somebody said, no, wait just a minute, Brother Pike. Brother Branham came and brought the new thing, and that's it. That's not it. Brother Branham came and brought a new thing. That was a new thing for his day. Brother Branham's dead. This is another day. God said, I'll do a new thing. I'll do a new thing. God didn't die when Brother Branham died. The morning he died when Elijah passed off the scene. God said, I will do a new thing. This is a new thing. Some of them that's following Brother Branham's message is having to confess it's a new thing. They said it was the same thing, but they went and made comparison, and they found out that God is giving something plus in this day. Somebody said, well, bless God, I don't want it. Well, that's all right. I'll take your part of it. If you don't want it, just slip it on over to my plate. I'll take it, and there's hundreds and thousands of others that will be glad to get it. So don't you worry about any leftovers. Just push your plate back and get up and leave. And you'll find out that it'll be all right. You know, God has a strange way of doing things. Isn't that right? My wife was telling me about something that happens when tourists go over into Jerusalem, different places. Waitress picking up the plates too early, you know, not finishing with her food. They couldn't understand it. But they have a habit of laying their knife on their plate like that. And they say that over there, that's a signal that you're through eating and they come pick up your plates. And Americans do that, you know. So don't ever do that. Said, always lay your knife and fork down and make a cross out of it. So if you make a cross, they'll never touch it. They'll leave it alone. Hallelujah. So then, he knew the revelation. He knew what was to be done. He knew exactly how to do it. He had the right message, right understanding. What was the message? The Lord is God. If the Lord is God. And then when God came down and the great thing took place, then the people with one voice all together said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Is that right? Not the Lord is a God, but the Lord is the God. Is that right? He's the God. The Lord, He is the God. He is the God. He proved that He was the God. The Lord was the God. And He came down and He got the sacrifice. Why? It was the right time. It was the evening time. Folks, let me tell you something. The sacrifice of Elijah denotes the rapture. They've done everything they could to get the rapture, but it hadn't come. The Bible said it consumed the cross, it consumed the seed, it consumed the water, it consumed the stones, the 12 stones that symbolize the apostolic foundations of the teachings of Jesus' name to substantiate the message. It picked them up and took them too. The whole thing was raptured away, caught away, with nothing left. They've tried from early morning to night to make it work, but they haven't made it work. But this is going to work. This is going to work. This one is going to work. Why? Because it's God's sacrifice without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. It's going to work. He's going to receive this one. Another thing, it's the evening time of sacrifice. It's the right time to offer it up. If you want to be a member of this body, then you can make it. You can make it. God's doing a new thing. The old body is dead. The twin that took the mark died. But this that's coming up now is the right thing. All of that will head up into the Antichrist out there. But this is the right thing. This body will be cleansed, purged, purified, and then be saved. Elijah said, there's 7,000, but only one prophet. Moses, a whole commonwealth, millions and millions of people that had been down there in that barren land, and Moses brought out enough to set up a whole commonwealth, but there was just one Moses. That's all there was, just one Moses. A lot of people, but just one Elijah. Multitudes of humanity, but one Jesus. Only one Jesus. The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. I wish this morning that we could have really got into this message. I wish you'd been just a little bit more giving in your spirit. You got too much wondering and figuring, you know, and trying to figure it out and see what I'm intending and what I'm trying to do and whether you want to go that path or not, until I can't really get down to what I'd like to get this morning. I want to say a few more things here and then I'm going to close. But there's one thing for sure. The message is coming forth now. Not Brother Pike, not Brother Brown, not Brother Taylor, not any other brother. It's the message of the hour, and it's the translation for the kingdom of God. It is the message of eternal life, and it will bring eternal life. It will do it. It will change the church. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. I don't care if you don't believe it, you'll still do it anyway. I'd be some poor fool if I stood up here declaring it was going to do it when I knew that it wouldn't do it, but it will do it. Somebody said, well, everybody that's ever come, Brother Pike, believed that. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Even Brother Branham said, if this ain't it, said it'll do till that comes. But this, I don't say that if this ain't it, it'll do till it comes. This is it, and this will do right now, because there ain't nothing else coming. One reason, ain't time for nothing else. The mark of the beast is closing in. There ain't time to get nothing else. There ain't time for nothing else to come, to mature. This is it. Somebody said, yes, wait. After a while, somebody's just going to work miracles, miracles, miracles. I know it. And while they're working them, the Bible says the deadly wounds shall be healed. If you want to see it, you can be there. It's pretty close at hand now. Somebody said, we'll join that crowd. Well, he's got a lot of room for you. All he requires is just a little mark, that's all. He just marks them that belong to him. I believe with all of my heart in the power of God, in the supernatural vindication. I believe that. But I also notice that the people that run after that is them that's been in marriages, double marriages, and everything else. Jesus said, an adulterous generation always seeking the sign. Like one said the other day, come off the field, said he wasn't going to preach no more. I said, why? Well learned, able to out-preach 10 men. Said, well, I'm going to preach some more. Why? Said, you're going to wait till that vindication come. But it just so happened the man's mixed up in a double marriage. God don't miss. God don't lie. God knows what he's talking about. Is that right? There is something we need to follow, and that is Christ. We need to follow God, not signs and wonders and miracles, heresies and ideas and doctrines and opinions, but we need to follow Christ. And that's the Word. And there'll be plenty of signs and there'll be plenty of miracles. And the Bible said these signs shall follow them. They won't follow the signs. They won't stick up a campaign sign out here saying, come over here, I got it, I ain't healed yet. I got miracles over here. A landslide of miracles and healings. They won't project it all over the televisions and the radios and everywhere else. That's right. You know why they do that? You know why they do that? They put up their big signs and say, Brother so-and-so, divine healer, better come on over, got the gift of healing. Why do they do that? They got a reason for that. They know that an adulterous generation is looking for a sign. And they get the adulterous generation and get their pocketbook with it. So they let them know that they got a sign. And that's what they go after. If you don't believe it, look in their magazines and see them half stripped off, miniskirts and everything else, running after it. Playboys with long hair sweeping down on their collar here. See if that isn't right. Sure, that's right. Or some denominational enterprise with a big fat salary, position and prestige. That's right. I made a statement in one of our earlier messages. Every bit of that will go to the governor. They got to have the governor down there in their meetings. And they want the president down there in their meetings. And they got to have Brother Celebrity down there in their meetings. All of these kind of things. Because they know the world's got their eyes on them. That makes them big. A lot of them's gotten big in their campaigns by doing things like that. That's right. What is it? It's the world. It's going after money. It's going to the high powers. And I made the statement the other day, any time a message goes to the upper class, it's not God. Moses' message defied Pharaoh and all of his upper class. All of his powers and authorities and his dignitaries. But them poor people that was in bondage, them poor people that were slaving down there, they found favor in the sight of God, and his message found favor in their heart. Pharaoh didn't like it. You know why they'll never cater to this? Because it tears down their enterprises. It tears down their kingdoms. The other kind of messages say, why, sure, Brother Banker, go right ahead and slip your little deals. Just give us 50 on the sign. Why, we don't care if you're a banker or whatever you want to be. Doctor, lawyer makes it look better in our denomination. Why, if you want to strip off down at the pool, that's all right. As long as you support this, doctor. All right, God understands the same old Catholic devil, same old Catholic system that's always done the same thing. Mother Harlot and her daughters all coming together. But not in this. God said, banker, you're going to get out of the hog pen and clean up your dirty, filthy lie. Doctor, you're going to lay down your medical practice, if that's what it takes, and clean the dirt off. And then you can join the body of Christ. This is right, spot, wrinkle, or blemish. How do you understand what I'm saying? Women, you're not going to sit around the church and make eyes at another man. Men, you're not going to sit there with a lust devil in your heart toward other women. You're going to clean up. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I come to this church and you just don't know what's going on. No, I come to this church and you just don't know what's going on. The Bible said God knows them that are His. You come to this church, that's true. But David said they come and went from the holy place and was turned into hell. I don't mean nothing. Coming here don't mean nothing. But brother, if you're a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've got the mind of Christ, it'll bring you the faith of that rapturing message that will cause you to be translated into the marvelous kingdom of your God. This is real, folks. This ain't no make-believe. This is real. If the Lord be the God, then let's follow the God. That's right. But there's one thing that we've got to remember. God veils Himself in humanity. Like Brother Branham said one time, He changes His mask. In the days of Moses, that was His mask. In the days of Elijah, that was His mask. In the days of John the Baptist, though He worked no miracles at all, that was His mask. In the days of Brother Branham, that was His mask. Because God always works in humanity. Every age, God visits His people. Always. Always. He always visits His people. And someday, when these ages are over, out in the great millennium, the preeminent Christ, the head, Jesus Himself, will sit down upon the throne, and in that day He alone shall be exalted. He alone. Not three. Not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three. Not that. He alone in that day will be the God, and He shall be exalted. He alone. How do you understand what I say? Somebody said, well, don't you believe the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost made this world? Jesus said, I, the Lord, stretched out the heavens. He said, I did it by myself, and there was no one to help me. That's the Bible. Nobody was there. I did it by myself, Jesus said. Somebody said, well, don't you know they're co-equal? You know the Trinitarians, they say they're co-equal. Jesus said, where is mine equal? Said, I don't know of any. I don't know of none. That's the Bible. Read it. Said, where's my equal? There ain't no co-equals with God. He's the God. The Lord, He is the God. That's the way I believe it. I believe it the way Elijah preached it. Elijah preached the message, and I got confidence in his message. He said, the Lord is the God. And I believe it. I believe He's the God. And the rest of them can preach the God whatever they want to, but I believe the Lord, He is the God. And I believe He's the only form of God in the veil of humanity that we will ever see, my brothers and sisters. Because I believe God is a spirit. And I believe the Holy Ghost is also a spirit living in your heart. And I believe that one spirit is the life that lived in that one body, Jesus Christ. And my spirit and my body is one. You love the Lord? I'm going to close here. There's just so many things that I'd like to say this morning. But I know that I can't get to say them. But I want you to consider what I said. So why do you preach like this, Brother Pike? Because it is the time of the evening sacrifice, and it's time that all others got out of the way except Jesus. It's time that everything else is laid aside, and the confusion is over, and the people can see that it's but one, and just one, and one alone, and that's all. Not two, not three, not a dozen different denominations. It's just one message, one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's all. One Christian life to be lived. And if anything comes up contrary to it, it's of the devil. I don't care who's at the head of it. You love the Lord? I'll tell you one thing. Not only is it time for that to happen, but my brothers and sisters, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I mean, that's for sure, it's going to happen. Nobody don't have to ask permission if it can happen from some state overseer. It's going to happen. But while it's happening, there's going to be another fellow that's going to come on the scene too. And he's going to be passing out marks. That's right. Somebody said, what kind? The mark of communism. You ever heard of Mark? He wrote the book of communism. He's going to be passing out some marks too. It's going to be a regime of the beast. And everybody receives, it's going to reject capitalism, which is typical of God. They're going to reject it. And they're going to come under that evil power and influence of that evil head and reject the truth of God. And they're going to come into a oneness. They always believe in a oneness anyway. That's right. They might try to confuse you and say they believe in a Trinity when it comes to religion. But you ask them who's their leader, they say the papacy of Rome. Ask them who's their leader, they say the president. Who's their leader? The king, the queen. Isn't that right?